ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः. वी आर् स्टडियिङ्ग् दिस् मोस्ट् मार्वेलस् नारायणसूक्तम् एण्ड् मिलियन्स् आफ् पीपल् चाण्ट् दिस् नारायणसूक्तम्. Not only it gives us spiritual enlightenment, all by the grace of God, Narayana, but it can also cure lot of diseases. Especially it is said in the Ayurveda Shastras, there are certain diseases which can never be cured by any medication. The only medication is to chant Vishnu Sahasranama. Similarly, many people advocate the only way to get out of this tapatraya is to study these suktas. As I mentioned in my Medha Sukta introduction, that they really work. Those who want to be wealthy should be dharmic, but with that condition, chant Sri Suktam, Kanakadhara Stavam. And those who want Medha, they must chant Medha Suktam. And those who want to get success, there are different Gayatris are there, including Vishnu Gayatri, Narayana Gayatri, Narayanaya Vidmahe, Vasudevaya Dhimahe, Tanno Vishnu Prachodayat, which will come at the end of this Sukta, which in reality is not a part of the Narayana Suktam, but as an auspicious ending, this Gayatri is tagged along at the very end. But all these Gayatris, the very meaning, Gayantam Trayati Iti Gayatri, those who chant, whether orally or mentally, but with complete self-surrender and bhakti and faith, they will get the results, if not sooner, later on. That is why I consider myself blessed, because even while explaining, my mind is only thinking, when you are listening, you are also meditating upon Narayana. Lest you think that Narayana is a sectarian sense of the term Narayana used by Vaishnavas, we have to disabuse ourselves. Here Narayana means Parabrahman. But this Narayana can be thought as Sa Brahmaha, Sa Harihi, Sa Shivaha, Sa Purushaha. He can be called Hari, he can be called Shiva, he can be called Narayana. He is also Indra, all gods and goddesses. When I come to that part, I will explain to you. We will together study these things. What is important? The moment we hear Narayana, Shaivas or Shaktas, should not misunderstand. This is a sukta about that particular sectarian god called Narayana. But this is Parabrahman with the name Narayana. Narayana means he who resides within every Nara. Prani, he who is capable of giving knowledge, Naram Dadati. Naram means knowledge. The very word Narada, he who gives knowledge, enlightens people, often by removing the obstacles in the form of certain created difficulties, deliberately, schemingly created for the purpose of every party concerned there. So, Narayana, with this introduction, let us move on to the, what were we discussing in our last class, that there is a place, how to meditate upon Narayana, that was the subject, where to meditate. Sri Ramakrishna has given a beautiful place, says, the heart is a splendid place, and that heart is being described here, within this human personality, It is a psychic personality. Within that psychic personality, the tantras imagine there are seven lotuses, and the Vedanta is giving this imagery. There is a spiritual heart. Where is it? In between the Adam's apple. This is the Adam's apple. And the Nabhi, the middle part. In between that, 12 angulas. Angula means one finger. Like this, if we put 12 below this, that means somewhere in the middle of the not physical body, psychic body, there is a spiritual heart, and that is being described here. Adho nishtya vitastyante nabhyam upari tishthati jvalamala kolambhati vishvasya ayatanam mahat. Nishtha means below the Adam's apple. And nabhyam, adha means above. So, above the navel, below the Adam's apple, there is something that is hanging, and it is hanging like a closed bud, like an old bud, let us say. It is not a very good analogy. Like when a flower becomes old, and often it hangs down, but not necessarily. There are so many flowers which will be hanging from the branches of the many, many creepers. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, they are hanging upside down as if they are looking at, but not necessary. Every flower has to be looking towards upward only. There are some flowers, this is hanging down, but there is a psychological meaning there. Though we are all advised to meditate, the spiritual heart is in between these two, between the Adam's apple, below the Adam's apple, about 12 fingers length, and above the navel, somewhere in the middle. And everything that we think in terms of physical body, not necessarily. It is a spiritual body. Sri Ramakrishna had clearly explained, which I am going to quote very soon. So, there is a lotus bud. It is not opened. It is in a budding state. It is hanging upside down. What is the point? Within that lotus bud, that is actually called heart. Not physiological heart, but spiritual heart. And that heart had to be awakened. How, whether these are all just imaginations of somebody, whether it is all really real, that is proved by Sri Ramakrishna's experience, which will come very, very soon. So there is the spiritual heart. It is where below the Adam's apple, adho nishtya, nabhyam upari, that is above the navel, vitastya, ante tishtati, it is hanging down. What is its nature? Jvalamala kulam bhati. Jvala kulam, full of flames. But it is like a mala, like a garland. As if this whole spiritual bud, the Padma, the lotus bud, is not an ordinary lotus bud. It is made up of flames. What is this flame? Flame means here consciousness, awareness, knowledge, and vishvasya ayatanam mahat. Bhati means shines. Now here, when it is dark, we cannot see anything. But as soon as light is brought up, it could be torch light, it could be electric light, it could be moonlight, or it could be sunlight, the best. But these are not called real lights. These are called secondary lights, not primary lights. What is that primary light? Consciousness. If I do not take notice of the sun, notice of the torch light, notice, for example, a sleeping person, even if so many people come, make noise, or even loot the house, as it really happened, I will narrate you one incident. There was a very great poet in Karnataka. He is called K.V. Puttappa. He wrote Ramayanam. And when he used to write Ramayanam, his mind used to be absorbed. This is not ChatGPT created poem. This is a person wholeheartedly, he used to see in front of him Rama, Sita, Lakshmana. Only continuously seeing them, he created that beautiful Ramayanam in Kannada, which is unparalleled. Now, his family people knew that he will not notice anything. One day they had to go out and then they told him, Baba, there is a lot of thievery is going on, robbing is going on, and be very careful. And he said, yes, yes, I will be careful. Anyway, they had to go out and the robbers came, looted in front of his own eyes everything, but he did not notice it at all. Why? Not because absence of consciousness, but in a way absence of consciousness, because his consciousness is fully awake, fully conscious, but his consciousness is completely directed towards writing Ramayanam by seeing Rama, Sita, Lakshmana, etc. So whether a person is not taking notice because of sleep, because of unconsciousness, or because it is absorbed in something else. Sri Ramakrishna used to say, when I used to meditate, there was a time when snakes, scorpions, and they used to crawl all over his body, but neither he was aware of them, nor they were aware of him. So, this beautiful lotus bud, which is a spiritual heart, it is full of consciousness. And that is the very center of this whole universe. How do we know that we are human beings? Because of the consciousness. How do we know we are alive? Because of consciousness. How do we know that we are thinking particular thought? How are we aware of our thoughts? Because of consciousness. How are we aware? There are objects in this world and we are interacting and it is producing emotions in our mind. And these emotions can be classified as desirable and undesirable, happy or unhappy, raga and dvesha, likes and dislikes, and we are slaves to them, all because of this consciousness. As I mentioned earlier, Swami Yatheshwara Maharaj used to instruct us that you will have to continuously develop continuous awareness. Whatever happens in the mind, whether it is a good thought, bad thought, let it be illumined. Let us first know that such and such a thing is there within me. Then only diagnosis will come. Then only what needs to be repaired, gotten rid of, can take place. Then only the progress starts. So as we progress in our consciousness, that is called spiritual progress and no other progress. And every center that the tantras describe in our psychic personality, they are called chakras. Chakra means a state of consciousness, and they are divided into 7, and every chakra is a state of consciousness. Not to speak of higher state of consciousness, even when we think, I am the body, that consciousness is inevitable. Without consciousness, I won't even know that I have a body, I am the body. Without consciousness, I don't know I am eating food, I like this food, and I enjoy this food, I desire this food, etc. For the whole basis, root of our very life, our birth, our growth, our old age, our death, everything is because of this consciousness, and that is indicated. The whole universe comes to us in the form of this awareness, consciousness. Just like when we are looking at a cinema screen or your mobile screen, it doesn't matter. What are you looking? Only light. Light in various infinite number of shades is a tree, a dog, a bird, a house, a car, people, anything that we see is nothing but modification of the light. The screen only acts as a container, as a reflector of that light. Like that, this lotus bud, which is hanging upside down, what is that bud? It is pure consciousness imagined in the form of a lotus. And why is it imagined as a lotus? When we see a lotus flower, by the way, it is our national flower. What does it do? At night, it is completely closed. But as soon as this rays of the sun touch it, immediately it wakes up. Similarly, in our state of ignorance, when we are ignorant that we are Amrita Putras, then as if this spiritual consciousness is in a state of sleep, Nidrana Sthiti, and that is called night. And this is not my imagination. This is Bhagavad Gita at the end of the second chapter practically. Ya nisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati sanyami yasyam jagrati bhutani sa nisha pasyato munehi. What is spirituality to a yogi? They like daylight. Crystal clearly a yogi knows I am Amrita Putra. Whereas worldly people know I am the body and mind. But for both, the basis for both is awareness. And that awareness is the garland that is coming out, illumining everything. Even ignorance had to be illumined. When you say, I know about this object, that is illumined by consciousness. When you say about the same object, I know nothing about this object, that ignorance also is illumined by the state of consciousness only. And that consciousness is compared here as a spiritual heart. And therefore, here the Rishi says, Bhati, it is illumining itself and everything else. So what is the meaning of a sun? The light of the sun? Sun is self-illumining. Every light is self-illumining. When you see a light, you don't need another light to see that light. First it lights up. Even in the dense darkness, even if you see a glowworm, that glow, first thing, oh, there is a light. Then, what type of light? It will illumine that source of that light. Oh, this is a glowworm. So it is first self-illumining and then illumines according to its power nearer objects, very near or much more or much more. But the primary light is consciousness. That is called Jwala Mala. Mala means a garland. Kulam. Kulam means a dense flames. Bhati. They are shining. When there is no day, there is no night, there is no birth, there is no death, all the time. And that spiritual heart, Mahat Ayatanam, that is great abode. Abode means what? The whole universe is contained within that heart, spiritual heart. Ramakrishna puts it very beautifully, and he heard it from a devotee. So he mentions, he gives credit. Says, you see, who is great? The greatest thing in this world, the biggest thing in this world is the world. It is so huge. Ananta Koti Brahmanda. Nobody, no scientist has the measurement how big is this cosmos. At best he can guess. And this whole universe is contained where? In the mouth of the Divine Lord or in the heart of the Divine Lord. So who is greater? This greatest universe is nothing but Atyatishtad Dashangulam Sahasra Sirsha Purushaha Sahasrakshaha Sahasrapat Sabhumim Vishvato Ritva Atyatishtad Dashangulam is even an infinite, minutest particle, this entire universe. And according to our Puranas, there are billions and billions of universes are there. Not one. How many? Countless. Why countless? Because God is Ananta. God is manifesting as this universe. So if God is Ananta, universe also must be Ananta, means infinite. We have seen that one earlier. Now, where is this world recognized within our heart? Which heart? Is it physical heart? No. Physical heart will be dead. Sometimes, you know, there is a period when the physical heart, it beats, takes rest. Takes rest means what? It doesn't function. So, it is dying, it is being born, so to say. But we say it comes again. That is why we don't say it is dying. But every millisecond is death. We have to cognize. Shankara calls it invisible death. When we see somebody dead, that is called visible death. When what we don't see, every millisecond, our whole personality is changing. That is called by Shankaracharya invisible death. Now, how many universes are coming? How many universes are disappearing? Who is taking notice? That pure consciousness. And that pure consciousness is this compared to the lotus bud. Why? Because when we are ignorant, ignorant means not absence of knowledge, but very little knowledge. And knowledge means knowing much more. Becoming one with knowledge means becoming everything, which is Brahman. So, Jwala Mala, like a garland, how this garland enhances the beauty of a person. But at the same time, this is only for our imagination, but it is shining, revealing itself, revealing everything. What is that everything? Vishvasya Ayatanam Mahat. This unimaginably large universe is only an infinitesimal part of this creation, and that whole creation is illumined by this pure consciousness, just as I was telling, God contains the whole universe. So, who is greater? God is greater. But that infinite Lord, who contains within him this Ananta Brahmanda, where is he? He is in the heart of a devotee. So, who is greater now? A devotee is much greater than God, because he keeps the God, that unimaginable God, in the form of consciousness within himself. It is just for us to explain that be a devotee of God and you can be greater than God. In fact, we are greater than the God. You know, in our households, when a baby is born, that baby becomes the king or queen, prince or princess of that whole family. A little bit of whimpering from that baby, immediately the whole household runs and takes it and coos it and swings it and plays with it until it goes to sleep. Everybody is on the alert to serve that. So this, what is God doing? It is like the mother who is a devotee, like that baby. The slightest whimper from this baby, the devotee, and God is with, comes running. He knows everything. How does he know? Because he is having billions of eyes, sahasras aksha. Then he has to come and serve. So what does he have? Sahasra kara, a billion billion hands, billion billion heads, billion billion legs, because he has to serve each one of his devotees. And all this is because we contain God. Where is that God contained? In this Jwalamala Kulambhati, that half-open lotus bud. But if it is not opened, there will be very little of God. But if it is fully opened, the entire God will be there. That's what is being explained here. So, Vishvasya Ayatanam Mahat, the whole world of the universe, ayatana, that is the substratum, the basis, the support, that spiritual heart. In other words, the whole universe exists in the Atman, and this Atman who is brilliantly shining in the region of our heart, within that lotus bud. Therefore, the heart itself is called Vishvasya Mahat Ayatanam. So, this is called Hridaya. Very interesting etymological meaning of Hridaya. Hridi Ayam. Hridi means in this heart, Ayam, this Atman is contained, is contacted with. That is why Hridaya Kamala Madhye Rajitam Nirikalpam. And by the way, it is only in India, it is only by Hindus, this word lotus is so much used. What are the feet? Lotus feet. What are the eyes? Lotus eyes. What is the body? Very soft. That is why Lakshmi Devi, she has lotuses, she stands on the lotus. The whole Lakshmi Devi is Padma, Padmavati. Many times that this will come. So, we will continue. Santatagum silavistu lambat yakosha sannivam tasyante sushiragam sukshmam tasmin sarvam pratishthitam. Now, we enter into slightly complicated description, and this hanging lotus bud, what is it doing? It is surrounded by santataku, means number, huge number, countless number of what? Sila vistu. A moment we hear the word sila, a stone comes to our mind. Here sila means, in Sanskrit it is called nadi. What is the nadi? No human being can see, no instrument can see, but it is a psychic pipe through which prana shakti moves up and down all over the body. That is called nadi. And even the scientists also try to describe it. For example, behind the eye, there are billions of nadis are there. When the eye perceives some object, the knowledge, the shape, the size, the texture of that object, that is called information. That information is taken in by the eye, and that eye, that indriya called eye, and by the way, we have to be aware that the eye that we see in the photograph of anything, that is only called a window, like the lens of a camera, that is not called the real chakshurindriya. Indriya is so subtle and it consists of billions of these nadis. There is no English translation for this word nadi. So, I will only use that word nadi. It is a way, a very psychical, what is called road, through which information passes both sides. It takes the information inside and it brings information also outside. So that mysterious process, no human instrument can discover. These are called nadis. How many nadis are there? It is said that infinite number of nadis. But 72,000 nadis are there. And of the 72,000 nadis, there is one nadi. Nadi means, remember, the vehicle, the road through which knowledge passes from outside to inside, from inside to outside. That is called nadi. And our tantric philosophy has unveiled three important nadis. They are called Ida, Pingala and Sushumna. Whether a person knows about it, has information about it or not, every spiritual practitioner, as soon as he goes a little bit beyond this gross body idea, immediately a subtle body develops. Sometimes it is called psychic body. Just as no scientist, no psychologist can never see directly into the mind. That is why it is called Sukshma Sharira. And this Sukshma Sharira is what we are talking here, this heart about. The Sukshma Sharira is not a small Sharira, but it is that which cannot be experienced in any way by these sense organs. That is called Sukshma Sharira. Sukshma means simply not available for any experience. But whereas even an atom, in some way, a person can feel it, like we feel the touch of coldness, hotness, etc. But the sukshma, anything sukshma, for example, a thought, there is no stethoscope, there is no scope, there is only one scope, and that scope is called Vedanta scope. Only through that we understand. This is what is being described. So this half-closed lotus bud, which is another word for spiritual heart, is somewhere in between. Really speaking, no. But this is only for the purpose of imagination, because that which is everywhere cannot be imagined. That is why Sri Ramakrishna says a jamindar has a huge jamindari. He can be anywhere because it is all his. But if you want to meet him, you will have to go to the visitor's room. That is where he meets people. So that visitor's room is comparable to this heart, to this lotus bud. And this lotus bud, full of consciousness, that directs all the pranas, all the shaktis, in the form of pancha pranas, and that energy directing consciousness, and consciousness only directs the energy. Energy doesn't direct the consciousness. The orders, higher officer always controls the lower officer, not vice versa. But the higher officer takes advantage of the lower officer. So this heart, which is the meeting area of the Jivatma, or where our individual contact with the Paramatma can be affected, and that is called meditation, dhyana, and the best place for that dhyana is this spiritual heart. And this spiritual heart, how do we communicate? Through nadis. And there are millions and billions of nadis are there. This nadi is called silabhistu. Santatagu means innumerable. And they are surrounding this akosha sannivam, as if they are surrounding this hanging lotus bud. Lambati akosha sannivam. But in the middle of all these nadis, there is one nadi that is called Sushumna nadi, and it is extremely subtle. Tasyante, among all the nadis, there is one nadi which is extraordinarily subtle, sukshmam, sushiragum. Sushiragum means that tube through which knowledge passes from below to the above, etc. That is called Sushumna nadi. And usually our understanding is this Sushumna nadi is the national motor highway, or in the west it is called motorway. It connects right from the Mooladhara until the Sahasrara. This is one imagery. The other imagery is, it is said every child, birth of a child is compared to a toothpaste. So, you know, toothpaste has to be filled in that tube. And then at the end, what they do? They seal it. Like that, the body is formed and the mind enters along with consciousness. That is Sukshma Sarira. How does it enter? Through the top of the head. There is a very soft spot. And popularly, it is known as Brahma Randra. Randra means an aperture, a hole. through which the toothpaste, just like toothpaste, is introduced into the tube, and then it is sealed up when it is filled. So this is sealed up. That's why I have seen, you also know, if you touch a newborn baby on the top of the head, there is one spot in the middle of the head, practically towards the, a little bit towards the back, a very soft spot, and it feels. If you press your finger a little harder, it is like opening the toothpaste, like that. So it is so delicate. But in course of time, it becomes harder, stronger, etc. Now, this is the imagination. Remember, it has nothing to do physically. So as if the sukshma sarira enters through that. But having entered, having been sealed, the goal of life is to go through the Brahmarandhra. So if anybody succeeds in, at the time of death, to pierce that Brahmarandhra and go out, Brahmarandhra leads to Brahman. But if the, what is called mouth Randhra, prana departs through that, then he will be born where plenty of food is available. If somebody desires love's sounds, his prana departs through the Karna Randhra. If somebody loves, say for example, a taste, then through the mouth, and sound through the ears, smell through the nose. And if the fellow is full of what is called glutton, probably it escapes from the hole, from the stomach. And if he is fond of something else, I will leave it to your imagination. Everybody will take birth next time. And it is a popular belief that the prana departs through that sense organ, through to which this person is inordinately attached. But in our Yoga Shastra, this Brahmarandhra, from Brahmarandhra to Muladhara, there is a right royal way. And that way is called Sushumna Nadi. So all the time we are traveling through the minor roads called Ida and Pingala. And these minor roads, they become blind lanes, only taking from Muladhara, Swadhisthana and Manipura. So spiritual life starts with the closing of Ida and Pingala and opening the Sushumna Nadi. It is called Sushumna Nadi. Nadi means a road. A road which facilitates travel towards higher loka or lower loka, whatever it is. So, there is one. This is what he said. Tasyante, at the end of this hanging, is full of nadis. And there is one nadi, which is the sukshma, most subtle. And what is that nadi? It is the Brahmarandhra, or Sushumna Nadi, and that Sushumna Nadi ends in this spiritual heart, and that spiritual heart, tasmin sarvam pratishthitam. The whole universe is very firmly established in that Sushumna Nadi, at the end of the Sushumna Nadi, that is in the spiritual heart. So, what is the idea? Idea is any higher thought, higher ideal, and the highest ideal is called Brahman. And that Brahman is available for communication. And that place where a spiritual aspirant can communicate with Brahman, that is called Hridayakasha, that is called Chidakasha, that is called this beautiful half lotus bud. So surrounded on all sides by narrow currents or nadis, suspends the lotus bud of the heart in an inverted, hanging down. It is in a subtle space, very narrow aperture. And there it is to be found, the substratum of all things. I explained to it. What is the substratum means what? Pure consciousness, awareness is available there. And without consciousness, we will not even know that we are alive. So it is a tubular structure. through which the prana, the subtlest form of energy, flows. And one particular nadi is best, as I explained, that is called Sushumna, and it takes us to the Brahmarandhra. By the way, Brahmarandhra and this hop lotus bud, they are equivalent. So, in one description, it is at the top of the head. In another description, it is middle of the human body, spiritual heart. But because it is spiritual, these human descriptions should not deter us, should not limit that, oh, you are talking contradictory things. Once you are saying it is at the top of the head, another time you are saying it is the middle of the body. Human body has nothing to do with it. It is only to make us understand. So why is this Brahmarandhra called Brahmarandhra? If a yogi can manage to get out of this body-mind complex through Brahmarandhra, he will reach Brahmaloka, he will reach Satyaloka, he will reach Brahman there. And now I will come to that point where, as I said, after hearing these things, oh, these rishis, they had no business, they sat down, they wanted to pass their time, and they are imagining all these things. They know nothing of the modern methods. Now we have X-rays, so many rays, and all those things are there. And now we know what is inside. Whether it is X-ray or any ray, they can only reveal the physical body, beyond the physical body, beyond the brain. They don't know what is the relationship between the brain and the mind. That's why, before I go further, I want to remind you, the brain is like a weighing machine. Suppose you want to weigh a letter weighing machine. Suppose you have such a machine, and that machine can weigh, for example, 100 grams. Now, you put 5 gram weighing letter, it will show you 5 grams. Put 100 gram weighing letter, it shows 100. And you put 200 gram weight letter, it shows only 100 because its capacity is only 100. So the mind is almost infinite. But how much of that mind is capable of being reflected in the brain? And even scientists say brain has billions of cells. But even the mind of an Einstein, the knowledge of Einstein is what I am talking about, that is only 6% of the brain's power manifests. Remember, it doesn't create knowledge. Knowledge is never created. Knowledge is always discovered. Even Einstein's knowledge, before Einstein was born, before Einstein's nomadic ancestors were born, this knowledge was always there. Very interesting, important point. There is a gravitational law. This gravitational power, this power is there from the beginning of creation. But only Newton came to discover it. And then it is the law of gravitation is not born after Newton. Because of Newton, he only discovered, uncovered. Knowledge is eternal. But uncovering depends upon us. And even Einstein's mind is only capable of uncovering something physical. If you ask Einstein, you are such a great scientist, can you describe, can you explain this Narayana Suptam and just understand, exercise your imagination, what will be his explanation about the nadis, about this Lambatya Kosha Sannibham, about below the 12 finger length from below the Adam's apple and above the navel. Let him try to explain. You will see he will be miserable failure because his knowledge is purely physical knowledge. But from the physical knowledge point of view, his knowledge is so great, only 6% of his brain's cells are manifesting this enormous so-called subtle knowledge. Not subtle in the sense of spirituality, that means abstract knowledge, just imagine. But he is nothing, he cannot do anything. No scientist can do. Every scientist must become a spiritual aspirant if they have to talk about spirituality. Coming back now, so Sri Ramakrishna, as I said, are all these poetic imaginations, some man sitting and then imagining nicely because God has given him the power of imagination? No. Now I will quote to you, Sri Ramakrishna narrates. And we have to believe, because for me, for the devotees of Sri Ramakrishna is the greatest authority. Whatever came from his mouth is Vedavakya. So, Sri Ramakrishna is narrating, Master. Well, some say that my soul, going into Samadhi, flies about like a bird in the Mahakasha, the infinite space. Once, a sadhu of Rishikesh came here. He said to me, there are 5 kinds of Samadhi. I find you have experienced them all. In these Samadhis, one feels the sensation of the spiritual current, that is, the prana moving, the kundalini moving. Kundalini means spiritual current, moving through the path of the Sushumna, to be like the movement of an ant, the movement of a fish, a monkey, a bird, or a serpent. Sometimes the spiritual current rises through the spine, crawling like an ant. Sometimes the soul swims joyfully in the ocean of the divine ecstasy, like a fish. Sometimes when I lie down on my side, I feel the spiritual current pushing me like a monkey and playing with me joyfully. I remain still. That current, like a monkey, suddenly with one jump reaches the Sahasrara. That is why you see me jump up with a start. Let me share with you a funny incident that had happened many years back in a place called Houston. So what happened? There was a devotee. He was practicing this yogic meditation, and one day after meditation, he was lying down. Suddenly, he felt some peculiar sensation increasing in intensity, and suddenly that person felt. He called his wife and said, I think my kundalini is rising. And his wife, I know both of them, so came running and said, I don't want to use the exact words, you please get up. And there was their son's, what is called a machine toy, because of this fellow lying down, it started vibrating. And this fellow genuinely believing, jumping up with joy, my kundalini has risen and it is about to travel. Naturally, his wife poured cold water on all that. Anyway, I just wanted to remind, it came to my mind. So, Sri Ramakrishna is telling, I remain still. That current, like a monkey, suddenly with one jump, reaches the Sahasrara. That is why you see me jump up with a start. By the way, what Sri Ramakrishna calls Sahasrara, what we just now called Brahmarandra, is exactly one and the same. Different names. Don't again bring, this is in the middle of the body, that is at the top of the head, that is only from the body's viewpoint, nothing to do with spirituality. Sometimes, Sri Ramakrishna continues, sometimes again, the spiritual current rises like a bird, hopping from one branch to another. The place where it rests feels like fire. Just now we saw, just Jwala Mala Kulam Bhati, Vishwasya Ayatanam Mahat, Jwala Mala Kulam Bhati, like flames. It may hop from Muladhara to Swadhisthana, from Swadhisthana to the heart, and thus gradually to the head, Sahasrara. Sometimes the spiritual current moves up like a snake, going in a zigzag way. At last, it reaches the head, and I go into Samadhi. These are the experiences. Some more experiences are there. A man's spiritual consciousness is not awakened unless his kundalini is aroused. This kundalini dwells in the Muladhara. When it is aroused, it passes along the Sushumna Naru, goes through the centers of Swadhisthana, Manipura, Anahata, Vishuddha, Agna, and so on, and at last reaches the Sahasrara in the head. This is called the movement of the Mahavayu, the spiritual current, and it culminates in Samadhi. Sri Ramakrishna continues, once a spiritual consciousness is not awakened by the mere reading of books, one should also pray to God. The Kundalini is aroused if the aspirant feels restless for God. Just before my attaining this state of mind, it had been revealed to me how the Kundalini is aroused, how the lotuses of the different centers blossom forth, and how all this culminates in Samadhi. This is a very secret experience. And Sri Ramakrishna is continuing. I saw a boy, 22 or 23. Who is that boy? Who was that boy? Himself. His spiritual personality. Because Sri Ramakrishna was 22 or 23. Exactly resembling me, that means me, entered the Sushumna Naru, Sushumna Marga, and commune with the lotuses, touching them with his tongue. He began with the center at the anus, that is Muladhara, and passed through the centers at the sexual organ, navel, and so on. Now listen carefully. The different lotuses of those centers, 4-petaled, 6-petaled, 10-petaled, and so forth, had been drooping. At his touch, they stood erect. When he reached the heart, I distinctly remember it, and communed with the lotus there, touching it with his tongue. The 12-petaled lotus, which was hanging head down, stood erect and opened its petals. Then he came to the 16-petaled lotus in the throat and the 2-petaled lotus in the forehead, called Agna Chakra. And last of all, the 1,000-petaled lotus, called Sahasrara, in the head. Since then, I have been in this state. This corroborates what Narayana Suktam is describing as the hanging lotus. Sri Ramakrishna continues, the lotus blooms during daytime because of the contact with the rays of the sun. After sunset, it closes and hangs down like this only. So, Sri Ramakrishna's description of how he experienced the blossoming of the lotuses. Remember, lotus is only a symbol. It has nothing to do because that which is subtle, that which is beyond the ken of sense organs, you cannot compare. This comparison is only for the sake of communicating his experience with us, whether it is done by the tantras or by the yogis or by the Vedanta. The fact is, they are trying to, in knowledge can be conveyed to any person only through what that person knows. If the person doesn't know, if a person never heard about the lotus, he will never be able to understand what Sri Ramakrishna was talking about. So, with this, Sri Ramakrishna's reminiscences are over. Now, the last part I spoke, actually not Sri Ramakrishna's words, it is a commentary. So, this lotus means that what is called spiritual heart blooms. That means it opens itself to spiritual understanding during daytime. Because what is the comparison? A lotus is closed, doesn't respond at night time. As soon as the daytime comes, sun ray touches it, immediately it opens up, stands erect. Similarly, at the time of ignorance, though potentially we are divine, that our divinity, we are not even aware of that divinity. We are only aware, I am non-divine. We are never unconscious. We are always conscious. You are in the waking state, you are conscious. You are in the dreaming state, you are conscious. What about sleep? You are in the sleeping state, Yes, you are fully conscious, because upon waking up, what do you say? I slept. Not even 1 milli-billi-seconds absence of the consciousness can be there. Otherwise, he has to say, from this time to this time, I was sleeping, and again, I was not sleeping, and again, I fell asleep. No, from the beginning of the sleep state to the end of the sleep state, that is what happens. So, just like that, during the nights of our ignorance, our hearts are closed and hanging downwards as if there is very little life. That is the natural state of most of the people, which Bhagavad Gita compared as Yanisha, night, who are still in ignorance. But everybody has a Hridaya, and every Hridaya is a Hridaya Padma, but it is closed and hangs down until the person wakes up, Uttishtata, Jagrata, Prapyavara, Nibodhata. But once we approach a wise teacher and get instructions and start practicing, that is called meditation. Meditation doesn't mean sitting and doing something. Meditation means transforming our whole life. This Hridaya Padma will open up, it stands erect, it opens up, and that is what we are going to see. We will see that in the next sloka. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagat Gurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhurmuhu. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.